Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I am your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, I would like to invite you to stay with me. We will have 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, some education, and never any manipulation, because we don't try to hustle people. We're not here selling anything. We're not asking you to join anything. The objective of this radio show is simply accurate information. And not human speculation, but accurate information. Information gleaned from the Bible, the Word of God, the canon of Scripture. And if I'm able to verify and identify God's plan for your life, you can take the choice to orient and adjust to the plan if you'd like to. But this is a show about the Bible, but maybe not one you've ever heard before. No ranting and no raving, no solicitation, just accurate information. Praying that it will make sense. Praying that it will click in your mind and that you will come to understand the uniqueness of those 10 problem-solving devices that form the flat line on your soul. The flat line is the main line of resistance. It's what stops the outside source of adversity from ever becoming the inside source of stress. If, in fact, you are a Christian, you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you have available to you these invisible assets. You have the Word of God. You have the filling of the Holy Spirit. You have the ministry of a qualified pastor. Many, many other things. And as these things are available to you and you use them, you begin to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you develop divine viewpoint, not human viewpoint, divine viewpoint. Divine viewpoint is looking at things through the Word of God. Human viewpoint is looking at things through human reasoning, human speculation. But however you look at things, if you take a real close look at the United States of America, anyone can tell you there is a shift going on. There is a change taking place. This is not the same country that it was 50 years ago, maybe even 40 years ago. America has changed. Recently, in my local newspaper, dated 4 December, the Birmingham News printed a column by Cal Thomas, the syndicated conservative writer. And I would like to read just a few excerpts from his column and then tie it up with some scripture that I've chosen to give you today. Mr. Thomas says Black Friday was a metaphor beyond the merchant's bottom line. Headlines on last Friday's Drudge Report reflected a culture that is being trampled by greed and the me-only attitude of a growing number of us. Suspected shoplifter shot after dragging cop through parking lot. Man stabbed over parking spot. Shopper kicked out of department store for filming a fight. Man shot walking home with a big screen television he had purchased. Shoppers trampled in a race for a $49 electrical device. Salvation Army kettle stolen. A woman pulls a stun gun in an argument over a shopping cart. All of these occurred on Black Friday. These frequent instances now seem to be symptomatic of a decaying culture, says Cal Thomas, the writer of this article that I'm quoting. Ignoring this pestilence that is destroying our foundation ensures that it will get worse. He goes on to say these incidences are the results of a nation that has ceased to impose, yes, ceased to impose self. Let me back up just a minute to you. I lost it in the folding here. Yes, we'll go back now. These incidences are the result of a nation that has ceased to impose, yes, impose the old values that served previous generations so well. And he goes on to talk about the latest horrible phenomena called the knockout game, in which mostly young men see if they can randomly knock another person unconscious with a single punch. And then he goes on to say, either it is God or secular laws that control our lower natures. And I like what he says here. Today we're out of control as we pursue happiness through prosperity in the false hope that money and things will satisfy. We actually talked about that very thing on our radio show recently, that happiness is not related to people. Happiness is not related to the details of life nor circumstances. Cal goes on to say, if things satisfied, wouldn't American be the most satisfied people on earth? In other words, if it takes things to satisfy you, wouldn't you be satisfied? He says the overflow that we deposit in our rented public storage units is indication that we have more than enough. And if we want more, what are we going to do with more? And when will today's more be not enough for tomorrow? He goes on to say, previous generations had less, and yet they seemed to have more of what mattered. More character, more virtue, more contentment. All of it reinforced by parents and clergy, and for the most part, the culture. He goes on to finish up by saying, given the behavior of so many on Black Friday and other examples of cultural decay and national decline, many of us seem to be doing just that. We are worshiping money and greed. The wicked, he goes on to quote the Psalm 12, verse 8, the wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honored among men. And in his last sentence, can't say that we have not been warned. Well, that's a great article, and you can read it for yourself on his website. But we have been warned. We have been warned before. And I would like to try to explain to you something that maybe no one has ever told you before. I'm willing to bet on that. I bet you've never heard of the four-generation curse as taught in the Bible. The four-generation curse as taught in the Bible. If we consider that a generation is 40 years, then we have 160 years mentioned of the four-generation curse. But what I'm about to give to you, the notes I'm about to explain to you, were originally taught by my pastor in his pulpit many years ago. And I can assure you I have his blessings to use these notes with you. Because that's how I learned, and that's how we learn. He goes on to say that future national suffering is the reason for the administration of the five cycles of discipline that come upon a client nation. Now let me back up and say America is a client nation. We represent God in this generation. We send out missionaries to the world. We are a haven for the Jew. We are the guardians of the Scripture. Yes, America is a client nation. We are the representatives of God in this generation to this world that is lost and dying. But there have been other client nations also. But we have the advantage of being a client nation during this time. And unto whom much is given, much is expected. There was a time when we called upon God in World War II. There was a time when General Patton even commissioned his chaplain to write a prayer for the weather. And then today, of course, if we have anything to do with God in the military, well, people talk about being fired. Recently, someone put up a nativity scene on an Air Force base, and it didn't take but 2.5 hours for that scene to be yanked down because some person complained that it was a violation of the Constitution. There are times we need God when our security and our lives are threatened and we call upon God. And there are times that we don't want God, when we listen to the minority of atheist and arrogant and agnostic people who refuse to admit the prosperity that we have has come from a heavenly blessing. After 400 years of slavery, the Jews were destined to become the very first client nation for God in the world under the leadership of Moses. But Moses had to warn them against making bad decisions as a free people. See, free people are free to make decisions, good and bad. So God gave Moses information regarding what we are calling the four-generation curse. And this information will explain why problems continue and become worse from one generation to another. This is what I want you to see. The United States of America is on a downtrend in history, economically, spiritually, socially, politically. The climate is falling rapidly. Exodus 20, verses 4 and 5, is the very first statement on the subject of the four-generation curse. It's part of what's called the Decalogue. And here it is. Listen. "You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, on earth beneath, or in the waters below. You will not bow down to them or be caused to serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of their fathers to the third and the fourth generation of those who despise me." Now, these words of warning were given as the Jews moved into the Promised Land. Of course, you know the first time they came up to the Jordan River, they refused to go in. Moses sent in 12 spies. 10 came back and said, "No, there are giants in the land." And 2 said, "Oh, that's no problem. We can take this land." Those 2 were Joshua and Caleb. And you may remember the Jews turned back and would not go in and wandered in the wilderness 40 years until that generation died off, and then their children came back up to the Jordan River one more time to see if they would go in and pursue the land God had given to them. So this warning was, when you go into the land, don't assimilate the gods of the Canaanites. This passage is a warning against idolatry practiced by the vigorous and powerful Canaanite giants who occupied that land. And so the Ten Commandments eventually were given. And in effect, they are the Constitution for Israel, designed to help these former slaves of Egypt, which are now free people, establish a concept of freedom in their own new nation. And these mandates are designed for protection and for freedom. So this four-generation curse, I'm going to give you some more verses. I want you to hear, start with, it does not apply to anyone who believes in Jesus Christ. It does not apply to any establishment-oriented believer. That's people who believe in freedom, marriage, family, and nationalism. That's called establishment-oriented people. But if it comes to hating God, listen, did you hear that verse a moment ago? "To the fourth generation of those who hate me, those who despise me." When it comes to hating God, it refers to rejecting Jesus Christ. And so this curse never applies to any Christian. Never. Unless, of course, you spend your life in the cosmic system, trapped in the cosmic vortex, out of fellowship with God, going to heaven, yes, a Christian, yes, but becoming an enemy of the cross because of what you think. Negative volition is the basis of us being culpable. Becoming a believer can break this four-generation curse. And if America is under a four-generation curse, and the fourth generation meets destruction under the 5 cycles of discipline, then wonder why everything is thrown against Christians to stop them from spreading the name of Jesus Christ. Would you assume that someone wants this client nation destroyed? It doesn't take a genius to realize that Satan would love to shut down the voice of America in this world. And it is happening. In Deuteronomy 5, verses 8 through 10, we have another statement of the four-generation curse, and it is identical to Exodus 20, verses 4 through 6. So God repeats, and I hear people sometimes say, "We've heard that before, preacher." Yes, you may have, but repetition is for inculcation, so the rate of learning is greater than the rate of forgetting. Men learn to march by hearing the same orders over and over and over. Forward, march, about, face. They hear it over and over till they can do it in their sleep. And a Christian hears something twice, he complains about it. The third statement of the four-generation curse is found in Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. "Then the Lord passed in front of him," that's Moses, and proclaim these words: the Lord God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy and truth, and guarding his mercy for thousands, that's Christians, and forgiving the iniquity and the transgressions and the sin, and yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and the fourth generation. I know I'm reading out of the Old Testament, and I know this has one application, one interpretation is what it's about, but the application can be for us as well. God is immutable. He doesn't change. If he worked this way in the Old Testament, he can work this way in the New Testament. Salvation is the same in the Old Testament as in the New Testament. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They look forward to the cross. We look back at the cross. It's the same cross. And the principles of freedom, the principles of establishment were the same today as then. The fourth statement of the four-generation curse is given in Numbers 14, verse 18. The Lord is slow to anger, and he is abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation. So what you see is that each generation is responsible for its own iniquity, which is passed on in the culture from one generation to the next. So the culture of America is feeding the next generation. That's why the generations change, because the culture changes. And the decadence in America is greater today than it was 50 years ago. There are great differences between the first generation who enters into this cycle and the fourth generation who determines the end of the cycle with destruction of the nation. Those differences are, number one, the culture changes. Number two, the motivation of people changes. Number three, the value of the people will change. Number four, juvenile crime will increase in every generation. And number five, idolatry will occur in the fourth generation. In the third generation, life is cheap. And in the fourth generation, it's abundantly clear that idolatry continues. So the four-generation curse always begins when people reject authority, legitimate authority. And where does all authority begin? It begins in the home. Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents. Honor your father and your mother, which is right in the Lord. Obey. Honor. That's where it begins. And so God's system for a nation calls for a balance of freedom. Yes, God wants us to be free, but not without authority, because the basis for freedom is authority. If you have freedom without authority, that's anarchy. And if you have total authority with no freedom, then you have tyranny. Both of those are wrong. See, we are free. God gives us our freedom. We are free as human beings, but that really doesn't become operative until we leave the nest. Once we get out on our own, once we leave mom and dad behind, then we face the culpability laws. As a man sows, that shall he reap. Our parents are the first lessons of authority. And how do you respond to the authority of your parents? And then, from there, the family. This is why all national suffering, is related to the family, and this is why the sins of the fathers are visited on the sons to the third and the fourth generation. Because of rejection of authority, they become culpable to the laws of God. See, we're born under the authority of parents. We have to learn to submit to that authority. And we suffer in life under the law of volitional responsibility, and quite frankly, most of the suffering that we endure is because we make bad decisions, and they limit our future options. So if we continue to make bad decisions, all the advantages that our parents gave us are lost if we cannot handle authority. Authority is orientation to freedom. Without authority, there is no freedom. And in the four-generation curse, authority is forsaken and freedom is destroyed. The first generation of the four-generation curse is seen in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11. If you want to take your Bible and mark it, you should, because I'm going to give you the characteristics of each generation. In Proverbs 30, verse 11, is the first generation of a four-generation curse who will reject authority beginning in the home. Listen carefully. Proverbs 30, verse 11. A generation who curses their father and doth not bless their mother. There is rejection of authority, rejection of the parents, bitterness and implacability within the home. And this is happening in America. We have very few homes where both parents even live. Many of our homes have no parents. And kids wander the street in many of our major cities. And we wonder why things are going on, because there's no authority orientation. They don't believe in the law. They don't believe in the police officer. And they don't believe in your freedom either, nor your privacy. They will violate your freedom and your privacy to do what they want to do when they want to do it. The generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother is the first generation of the four-generation curse. Then in Proverbs 30, verse 12, you see the second generation. The generation who speaks of the parents who teach their children self-righteous arrogance and consequently hypocrisy in their own eyes. Hypocrisy in the second generation. They're pure in their own eyes, and yet they're not cleansed, the Bible says. Pure in their own eyes, and they're not cleansed. The second generation is the generation of that's full of self-righteousness, arrogant. And that describes a lot of what's going on in America today. Verse 13 describes the third generation as having arrogance that is now locked in arrogance. A generation, as the Bible says, whose eyes are so arrogant that their eyelids are raised in arrogance. It's unbelievable. You could almost say this is the history of America right here. You can almost see it. You can see everything that's happening in this country right here in these verses. I want to read to you these verses out of the translation called God's Word. Listen carefully. A certain kind of person curses his father and doth not bless his mother, generation one. A certain kind of person thinks he's pure, but is not washed from his own feces, filth. That's generation two. A certain kind of person looks arrogantly around and in conceit, he is conceited. That's generation three. A certain kind of person whose teeth are like swords and whose jaws are like knives, and they devour oppressed people from the earth and people from among humanity. That's the characteristic of the fourth generation. The fourth generation is the worst. It's the generation whose teeth are like swords. They destroy anyone who gets in their way. It's the generation of inordinate ambition and lust for power. That's happening in America today. In this first generation, you reject authority. In the second generation, you have locked in self-righteous justification. In other words, this person would say, everybody else is wrong and I'm right. I have a right to do what I want to do. They justify their sin. They justify their criminality. They justify their rejection of authority because they would complain that authority is not fair. The third generation has locked in arrogance. In other words, now it's set. It will never, ever change. And the fourth generation has inordinate ambition and lust for power. And the fourth generation is the most corrupt of all, having accumulated all the sins of the past three generations, plus their own sins. So you see how the culpability builds and builds and builds until the nation is destroyed. You are not in the four-generation curse if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. But if you have rejected Christ as your Savior, you are culpable for your decision. Our culpability is always based on our own volition, on our own free will, the volition of every individual in any generation of human history. We have to answer for every decision. And we are responsible for our own sins, not the sins of our parents. Don't misunderstand that. The four-generation curse never exists except where the children of the fourth generation commit the sins of their parents in the third generation. They can break it. They could break it any time they want to. The sins of the parents had to be repeated in the children of the next generation for the culpability and the punitive action to be administered by God. But you have to sin to be culpable, because we have a tendency to repeat the sins of our parents, the arrogance and the vanity and the middle attitude sins that we repeat from our parents. So choosing to repeat these sins from our own volition results in passing these down to the fourth generation, where all heck will break loose, revolution, violence, and eventually destruction to the nation. The simplest way to break the curse is by faith in Jesus Christ, and subsequently learning and executing the royal protocol plan of God. The sins of the fathers have to be repeated in the next generation for that generation to receive punishment. But if any generation responds to the gospel, if any generation believes in Christ, that curse can be broken. And now you understand why Satan fights tooth and nail to keep teenagers and young people from hearing the gospel. He does not want the curse to be broken. He wants this nation to be destroyed. He wants to shut down the client nation of America so that world evangelism we're involved in will cease. You must understand, we face destruction as a nation if the curse is not broken. I hope you're listening. I hope you're learning, because we are at a crossroads in history. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.